This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Forest City, Iowa, and our abbreviated worship service from January 29th, 2017. We hope this is a blessing to you today and always.
The first reading is from Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Who may dwell in your holy house? Who may abide on your holy hill? Who may dwell in your holy house? Who may abide on your holy hill?
Lord, who may dwell in your holy house? Who may abide on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, who speak truth from their heart, who do not spread rumors with their tongue, who do not insult their friends nor defame their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are rejected, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who keep their promises even when it hurts, who do not lend money to make money, and who do not take bribes against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be brought down.
Who may dwell in your holy house? Who may abide on your holy hill? Who may dwell in your holy house? Who may abide on your holy hill?
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble of birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. What does it mean to be blessed? We often talk about blessing in terms of success or happiness or how we feel or how fortunate or privileged we are. But in today's gospel, Jesus gives us a radically different understanding of what it means to be blessed. In verse 1 of today's gospel reading, Matthew tells us that Jesus has left the crowds and gone up a mountain, a lot like Moses ascending Mount Sinai to receive the law. Jesus is about to give the famous Sermon on the Mount. These are his very first public words to his disciples. And if you look closely, you'll note that Matthew says Jesus is going to teach them. We call this a sermon, but it's really a lecture. Class. This is the first day of Discipleship 101, and the first lesson is the Beatitudes. A beatitude is a statement that certain people are privileged or honorable in some way. Jesus didn't invent this as a teaching tool, but he's going to use it to challenge the disciples' expectations. Last week, Jesus preached that the kingdom of heaven had come near, and he had called his disciples. Today, he's going to start explaining to them what that kingdom looks like, what discipleship means. And so he says, "Blessed are those who are disheartened, downtrodden. Blessed are those who suffer loss. Blessed are the meek, the gentle, the humble. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice." And only halfway through this list, we want to say, wait, what? These people are the ones who get rewarded? And the answer is yes. These groups are those the Bible consistently sees as defended by God. And they are not only promised the kingdom, but also those things that Israel expects for that promised future, when God's kingdom comes and God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. They are promised a day when sorrow and crying will be no more. A day when the promised land is at last obtained. A day when hunger and thirst is finally satisfied. A day when justice will prevail. That's already a tall order, and Jesus is only half done. Blessed are the compassionate. Blessed are those who do not serve two masters, but serve God with all their heart. Blessed are the reconcilers, the nonviolent. Blessed are those who endure persecution for the sake of justice. With this second group, there's a shift happening. We've moved from a sort of passive group that represents the vulnerable and the easily victimized to an active group, a group of doers, a group that does things that look a lot like what Jesus will continue to lecture the disciples on throughout the rest of the gospel. First, let's look at these statements a bit more closely. These are not human virtues. If you and I wrote a list of blessings, we would probably say blessed are the healthy, the wealthy, the smart, the happy, the powerful, the beautiful, the winners, the nobility, the haves, the high achievers. But those are not the people blessed in this kingdom. Nothing here is what human wisdom expects. In this lesson, Jesus flips all of our human values and expectations upside down, trying to get us to see things from God's point of view. Jesus blesses what is foolish to shame the wise, blesses what is weak to shame the strong, blesses the have-nots to bring down the haves. The Sermon on the Mount spans over 100 verses, and with just these first 10, Jesus tears down our idea of what blessing looks like and starts rebuilding it. These are the values and virtues of the kingdom of heaven. Second, these are genuine blessings, not Robert Schuller's be happy attitudes. Jesus says, "For theirs is, for they will be." These are gifts from God, not warm fuzzies. They are promises given, not commands to be fulfilled, and that makes them good news, gospel, not law. This distinction between gospel and law is one of the cornerstones of our Lutheran theology. The law says, if then. The if names a condition to be fulfilled, and the then names the reward. If you work hard, then you will succeed. If you drive 55, then you will not get a ticket. If you eat your veggies, then you will have dessert. That makes us the actors. The law casts me back on myself to fulfill the requirement. But the gospel is different. The gospel says, because, therefore. Because Christ has died, therefore you are forgiven. Because they are poor in spirit, therefore theirs is the kingdom. Because they mourn, therefore they will be comforted. Christ has indeed ascended this mountain like Moses did on Mount Sinai. But when Christ turns around and speaks, the word is not law, but gospel. As the Lutheran theologian James Nestigen says, the gospel says, Moses is dead, Christ is risen. Third, there's a movement here, a forward motion of ethics, of virtue, of good deeds, driving these blessings that will continue to inform the rest of the Sermon on the Mount and the rest of Matthew's gospel. The line is being blurred between these two groups. These aren't simply blessings on 9 different types of people, but they are blessings for the whole Christian community. Blessing and discipleship are being intertwined. Last week, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is near," and this section begins and ends with the promise of the kingdom. These are the blessings for the true disciples in the Christian community. They are blessings for those who model their lives on the one who is himself all of these things. Christ became poor that we might inherit the kingdom. He mourns with us and for us. He is meek, gentle, and humble in heart. He satisfies our hunger with his own flesh and blood. He has compassion for us that we might have it for others. He calls us to repent, to change our minds, that we might see God. He adopts us into God's family and into the family business of forgiveness and reconciliation. And he asks us to follow him down a path of justice that just might get us killed. Then in verse 11, Jesus makes explicit what has been implicit, just in case the disciples thought they had been left out of all these blessings. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. And then Jesus gives the first command, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Surely the disciples were hoping for more of an earthly reward than a heavenly one, something a bit nicer. You know, maybe, blessed are you, the chosen few, for your life will be easy and filled with sunshine and unicorns. But that's not how blessing works in this kingdom. These are the blessings of a crucified God, a God whose power is made known in weakness, a God whose foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. Blessing in the kingdom is the way of the cross. It is a stumbling block, foolishness. So what are we to do with all of these blessings? Are we to simply sit here and bask in our blessedness? Not quite. These may be unconditional promises, but again, they are built on a foundation of ethics. True discipleship for Matthew isn't passive. It is an active response to the gospel that involves good deeds. The true disciple does justice, loves kindness, and walks humbly with their God. The true disciple does the right thing, speaks the truth, avoids gossip, honors friend and neighbor. The true disciple is willing to live life with the people on the margins, willing to stand in solidarity with the scapegoats of this world, just as Christ himself became a scapegoat. God doesn't care about our offerings or our singing or our standing, sitting, kneeling, and bowing. All of our debates about whether we do things this way or that way in worship, it's all irrelevant, says Micah. What matters is whether we are living the values of the kingdom. Because if we are not, nothing else we do is worth arguing about. Blessing in this kingdom of heaven is about a way of life. Jesus says, "Blessed are the outsiders, for God is on their side. And blessed are you when the world casts you out for treating the outsider as if they're blessed." Blessed are you, not when people congratulate you or compliment you or respect you, but blessed are you when people insult you because you dare to defend the victims and scapegoats of this world whom Christ has deemed worthy of blessing. Blessed are you when people attack you because you dare to build bridges instead of walls. Blessed are you when people slander you because you dare to believe that God's kingdom comes and God's will is done when the prisons and asylums and ghettos of this world stand empty, when the inmates and the outcasts and the refugees of this world are welcomed home as our brothers, our sisters, our parents, our children. Blessed are you when the world persecutes you for doing justice, for you are in good company. They did the same to the prophets who were before you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, executed for his opposition to Nazism. Martin Luther King, assassinated for his leadership in the civil rights movement. Bishop Oscar Romero, assassinated for his opposition to government oppression of the poor in El Salvador. When the world persecutes you for doing justice, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. Amen.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten and not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
called to be a light to the nations, let us pray for God's justice, peace, and healing. Each petition ends with, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Thank you today for the wonderful Waldorf students and faculty who are cooking pancakes for us downstairs in the fellowship hall. They have been called by you for a short-term mission trip to Providence, Rhode Island. Thank you for our Emmanuel High School youth who have been called to go to Houston, Texas for a youth gathering. Thank you for the generous giving for the Stop Hunger Project, the giving of our time and money on February 22nd. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you for this beautiful new year. Thank you for the life we lead. We simply adore you, Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, creator and sustainer of life, mercy beyond what we can fathom. You cover us with grace forever and ever. Lord, in your mercy. You care for us more than the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. You declared in Genesis that the creation was good, but that man was very good. You are aware of our every need. You know our prayers of supplication before we speak them. You know our requests to you before we think them. Lord, in your mercy. Our prayers of intercession are for the physical, emotional, social, and financial needs for our church, our members, and all of our visitors today, and include Tim Schmidt, Shelley McKern, and the first names of the members who are listed in our bulletin. Family of Vince, Jim, Michaela, Judy, Carmen, Amy, Steve, Ione, Marge, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Miamis, missionaries Colin, Jenny, Josephine, and Amos. Lord, in your mercy. Our hearts are filled with gratitude. We are so deeply thankful for our families, spouses, children, and grandchildren, our dear friends, our health, our homes, our jobs, the privilege to live in this beautiful world, and the assurance of eternal life with you in heaven. Lord, in your mercy. Help us to stand up for the righteousness, for righteousness, and to help the poor, the disadvantaged, and all who are less fortunate than ourselves. Help us with the refugees and immigrants. Help us to build bridges, not walls. Strengthen us to be courageous disciples for you. Strengthen our pastors and our missionaries who are strong and courageous disciples and examples to us all. Lord, in your mercy. We praise you for all the saints who died proclaiming the gospel. Strengthen us through their witness. Lord, in your mercy. And concluding, receive these prayers in the name of Christ, the light of the world, who is one with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The God of glory dwell on you richly, name you beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace. Be the light of Christ.
Thanks be to God. And go get some pancakes.